listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Shelley Rep, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, on the phone with us this afternoon. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Jim. Good to be here.
Well, I'm always blessed that you're here, but I do have to qualify for a lot of our listeners that this is really kind of a tough subject. And I've told you before when you've been on the phone, I feel like I've lived in a cave. Even though I've been in Albuquerque almost my entire life, I never realized how pervasive minor domestic sex trafficking was in our city.
Yes, it's something that I think a lot of people are not aware of. It's a hard thing to see, but once you do see it, it is really easy to find, unfortunately.
Shelley, how did you become aware that this was happening?
So I was actually working at a church, and we had started a program to help one of the high schools with their seniors. So they had a group of seniors that they didn't know if they would graduate or not. And so one of our tutors was working with one of those students, and she came into my office one day, and she said, I think you need to talk to this girl. I don't know what's happening, but things just don't seem right. And I had been like you, Jim, in the church world for many, many years. And so I was thinking, oh, you know, she's unhappy with her family or, you know, something like that. And when this girl walked in, what we realized, or what we came to realize a little bit after the fact, was that her family was actually in the process of trafficking her. They were finding people online to purchase her. And I know at the time I was like, this can't be legal, but that is what set me on a journey to see what human trafficking actually is, how it happens in the United States, and then what we can do to come up against it.
Shelley, tell us about the mission of the New Mexico Dream Center.
So the New Mexico Dream Center's mission is to restore hope to the hopeless. And we do that through two programs specifically. We have one program called Spoken For, which provides aftercare for human trafficking victims that are identified in our state. And then we have The Harbor, which is a drop-in center for homeless youth. And they're tied together because Albuquerque actually has a really large homeless youth population. And those kids are vulnerable to these predatory traffickers who are looking for an easy person to exploit.
Shelley, has COVID exacerbated this problem, or has it cut it back a little bit?
So it kind of depends on how you look at it. So COVID has definitely had an impact on what we would call like street prostitution, where people are literally driving up and down Central looking for prostitutes. That has definitely been impacted by COVID. However, what we have seen is that the online cases are increasing. So we work really closely with the New Mexico Human Trafficking Task Force, which is run out of the Attorney General's office. And one of their departments is their ICAC team. And ICAC stands for Internet Crimes Against Children. And essentially what they have seen is pre-COVID, they would get perhaps 30 tips or 30 calls for investigation for children who are being exploited. What they've seen since COVID is over 300 tips a month for these types of investigations. So I think that it's not as public facing, but I think that it's absolutely happening, and perhaps even happening at a larger extent, because so much is online now. Children are online, and they might not be monitored necessarily because their parents or caretakers think they're doing school, and we're seeing this rise of exploitation because of that.
This is all just really, really scary news, Shelley. Man.
It is. Well, and Jim, you know, with that, we recently were able to help assist several law enforcement agencies with a large thing that found a bunch of human trafficking victims right here in a small community in New Mexico.
And Shelley, what happens? Maybe I'd ask you about some of your partners. You've already mentioned the state attorney general's office. They really work with you closely. I know you also do some training and work closely with a lot of law enforcement.
Yes. Yes, we do. So part of being on that task force and being a service provider is that we work with FBI, Homeland Security investigations, local law enforcement of all types, and specifically with the younger clients, we really are working with Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office because they have a dedicated unit for runaways that are teens, and we just know that's, a highly exploitable population.
Again, I'm in total shock about how this exists, and you've been on this program probably 10 or 12 times, and every time we talk about this, it gives me shivers about just how awful this could be for adults to be trafficking children to be using them for sex. It's just unthinkable. And I want to ask you about men in particular, and maybe women do this too, but I want to ask you about men, mainly because if there's people listening to this, I want men to understand a couple of things. One, God loves you and wants you to be clean and be cleansed and not in bondage, not addicted to this. But here's my question, Shelley. Are men that are using porn and they think that this is something they're doing in the confines of their own home and they're not affecting anybody else, are they actually supporting sex trafficking by using porn?
They absolutely are. Porn is involved in all aspects of sex trafficking. So from the aspect of demand, so people wanting to purchase other people for sex, porn contributes to that. In fact, the younger you are when you start accessing pornography, the more likely it is to impact your thought process and just the way that you view people in general. And so pornography is addictive. It is something that people think is secretive, so they feel like they can hide it. But there have been several studies that have tied pornography directly to human trafficking. So porn is used to train trafficking victims on what it is that they're expected to do. So that's one aspect of it. Pornography is honestly produced by unwilling victims in a large number of the porn films that are out there. And then pornography is absolutely the biggest contributor to demand for purchasing sex. So when you look at that, pornography affects all aspects, every side of the sex trafficking problem we have specifically with young people.
Shelley, I want to address that not only are people in the church objecting to people using porn and talking about the addiction. In fact, while you were talking, I went to a website online. It's called Fight the New Drug. And this is a completely secular organization that actually will tell a man, and again, I want to speak to men, if this is an addiction that you have, it is harming you, even apart from minor domestic sex trafficking. I'm not trying to heap heavy loads of responsibility, but you do have some. And the thing that I want people to be mostly aware of is that this is an addiction just like a drug. And it actually rewires the way your brain works and the way your body reacts. And you are doing so much harm to yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so I just want to appeal to people that go to a website like Fight the New Drug. We'd ideally love to see you walk into your church and walk up to a man that you trust and confess your sin, because you'll be amazed what happens. Nobody's going to judge you. They're just going to immediately begin working with you and talking with you and encouraging you. And what you're going to find is that God just, he just pours out his forgiveness, and you'll literally, the opposite of addiction is meaningful relationships with other people. And as Shelley's talking today, I just want men in particular to have in mind that you can be free from this addiction if this is something that you're after. And Shelley, I bring this up because I'm thinking about men that might actually be buying these children or renting them or whatever the horrible term is for it. And I can't imagine that they would be shopping online for a child.
That's exactly what it is, though, Jim, is it, you know, sex trafficking used to be something that happened primarily on the streets. You would have to go somewhere to find a victim. But now it's much safer for the traffickers to do online ads. And so that's really what we see, is that when men start accessing this and they're looking for, quote unquote, a date, they're looking and they're seeing a bunch of different women or a bunch of different children, or what they hope is a woman that could definitely be a child, and they're picking them. So it really is something that you have to look at, as this is an economic situation. There was a study out of Washington State, the Seattle area, and they had worked with some of the larger corporations up there, and they were tracking the hits for these different, like, trafficking sites, different kinds of hookup sites. And what they found was, starting basically on Thursdays at 4 o'clock is when they kept seeing hit after hit after hit. And that continued, Thursdays, Fridays into the weekends. It would drop on Sundays pretty low on Mondays, and start picking up again until it peaked again on the following Thursday. So these are people sitting at their computers at work, setting up an encounter with a young person for sex.
Shelley, that is just the most, it's just damaging to even hear that with our ears and to think about this. But I want to ask you about maybe some advice that you might have for parents and the use of the internet by their children. Can you caution them? And
yes. Okay, this is like my favorite thing to talk about, Jim, because so much of the recruitment into sex trafficking for young people is preventable. So the first thing we have to understand is that, kind of back in the days when we were young, Jim, and our parents were parenting us, the threats to our family were thought to be external. So, you know, don't, like, get in the van with the creepy guy. You know, don't take candy from strangers. It was all these external things that we were warned about as children. And I think that a lot of times people are still caught in that, and they look at external factors that they need to protect their children against, when they're absolutely not external anymore. They are internal, and they are on your child's computer or your child's phone. So the first thing that parents need to understand is that almost all of the recruitment into trafficking is going to happen over social media. Traffickers are not just walking into kids at the mall anymore, or parks or things like that, to recruit them. It's happening over the internet. And it happens so often in this feeling of this kind of relationship thing. So we would call it like the lover boy model or the Romeo pimp. And essentially that is somebody who is portraying himself as closer in age to the child. And their goal is to develop this online relationship with them for the purpose of separating them from their parents, isolating them, and becoming a stronger influence in their life till they leave home. They run away from their homes. So parents need to be absolutely aware of what social media platforms their kids are on. Parents need to be aware of how that platform works. So things like Facebook and Instagram are pretty easy to monitor, and it's really easy to see the history and things. But on an app like Snapchat and other apps that are similar to that, these texting apps, that information or those pictures, those conversations can disappear within a matter of seconds, and then they're lost, and you don't know that your child has been targeted or approached. I'm a huge believer in parental controls on all media devices for children. And a couple of my favorites are Bark, and it's just bark.com. And BARC will absolutely scroll through, and they will find words that are dangerous. They'll scroll for images of weapons. They'll scroll for, pornography images. And they give parents a report. And so BARC has some fabulous, fabulous technology to it. And another shout out to BARC is that they have a documentary video that shows how fast a predator can get in contact with a child. And through this documentary that they did, Jim, it was under 90 seconds that a sexual predator was in contact with a girl that they thought was 11 years old.
Oh, man, I am just horrified by hearing these stories. We're on the phone this afternoon with New Mexico Dream Center Executive Director Shelley Rep. You can see the ministry of the New Mexico Dream Center is having, they're in the middle of a fight that is horrible. And we hope that our listeners, as we go through this afternoon, will talk about supporting their ministry. When we come back, we're going to talk to Shelley a little bit more about what's happening on the offensive side by her organization and law enforcement, because they're also on all of this social media and they're monitoring and they're trying to get a hold of these people, in many cases acting like they're small children, and they're having some great effects stopping this. So we'll be back with Shelley Rep. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
At Krecke Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Krecke Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheKrekkeLawFirm.com.
Called Christians, a ministry in Jinja, Uganda, can certainly be recognized as a great mission. Here's ministry leader Bev Rich.
The focus of Called Christians is to bring people to Christ and then to move them deeper in with the Lord. Our focus is discipleship. Uganda has been evangelized, but they say, you know, the Christianity here is about one inch deep. But we want to help people grow closer and closer to Christ and to actually just have a relationship and learn who God is and know Him.
Bev and her team at Called Christians are accomplishing this by ministering to several prisons where they teach the Bible, assist with medical transports, and help supply the pharmacy. Other outreach includes a school of ministry to raise up leaders, education sponsorships, and public classes on apologetics. For this work to continue, your support is urgently needed. Find a place to give a one-time or reoccurring gift by clicking the Great Mission banner at star88.fm or knkt.com.
A Harvest America moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
It's been said that Christians are a lot like tea bags. You don't know what they're made of until you put them in hot water. And some just can't handle it. When you are persecuted, here's what you should do. Rejoice. Jesus said, blessed are you. And a better translation would be, happy are you when men persecute you and revile you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, he says, and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Okay, so wear it as a badge of honor. And if you're a true believer, these difficulties will not weaken your faith, they will strengthen it.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making Him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage. Maybe you're refinancing, maybe you're looking at purchasing a new home. Call 836-5700 or reach Ben Lucero on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Want to speak to parents that might have little ones or young people around their home listening as we're on the show today. We are talking about minor domestic sex trafficking, a topic maybe young ears maybe too young to hear about, but we think it's an important topic. Shelley Rep, I feel bad sometimes, almost embarrassed that I'm talking to you about this, because I've known you since you were about 13 or 14 years old.
I know, that's crazy, right?
Well, and I remember, you know, all the amazing Fellowship of Christian Athletes meetings and things that we had in the old days, and your husband and his brother were involved in that organization, and you were participating as a student, and I'm so glad that you didn't have to face any of this kind of stuff. At least I hope you didn't when you were young. And it's amazing that you're now an advocate for young people, because this is so pervasive and so scary. I just can't believe it. I want to ask you now about the other side of the fence. We've been talking about the bad guys trying to lure young people. There's quite a lot going on in law enforcement to catch these folks, isn't there?
There is. In fact, we are super excited to let you know that we recently were able to, we co-wrote a grant with the Attorney General's office, that they received, and we are going to be able to start putting into place a statewide resource plan and referral plan for kids who have been trafficked. And so what this is going to do is it's going to allow our law enforcement officers to have really good on the ground intel of what's happening. It's going to allow us to have an actual formal pathway for kids who've been trafficked, which hadn't happened before. And so we're going to, you know, it's such a privilege, Jim, for us as this little faith-based agency to be asked to be part of a statewide response for trafficking by law enforcement. And so we're super excited to be able to be in this position and working with these different agencies. That being said, we have, we've seen some really amazing things happen with some of our law enforcement partners, who have done some really innovative work in trying to find these traffickers. We've got people who are working on ICAC who are doing facial recognition to try and not only find the victims who are missing, but also to identify traffickers when they're trying to do these face-to-face encounters. We've got the Ghost Unit with the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department who is tracking down missing children and returning them home. So we are seeing some great things in our state. We just have to keep going.
Oh, it just sounds like this problem is so pervasive. It's going to take a lot, to battle this problem down. And you are doing a lot, from a ministry perspective. Talk to us a little bit about the harbor, where that's located. And you also take donations of clothes and things, right?
Yes, we do. So the harbor is located off of East Central. We're just essentially at the intersection of Zuni and Central, and instead of going south at that intersection onto Zuni, you go north and you're on General Chenault. And our building is just a half a block down on the right. And so we do take donations of clothing. We also take donations of things like hand warmers, travel size shampoo and conditioner, travel size toothpaste. I don't need any toothbrushes right now, Jim, because we had a dentist who gave us like maybe 500. So I've got lots of toothbrushes, but I need some toothpaste. So, and then also because we are doing outreach to these kids, who are willing to help us with food. Part of what our model is with outreach is that we provide, a simple meal for those kids when we're doing outreach. And so we always need people who can help us with food.
And do you take like non-perishables or snack food items? Is that kind of what you're after?
Yes, specifically snack food items, because again, our population is primarily homeless. They don't have a way to cook food. So having like a can of green beans isn't going to be helpful. Having a pop can of SpaghettiOs, however, is very helpful, because you can eat that right out of the can if you need to.
Gotcha. Talk to us a little bit about how our listeners can come alongside you financially, Shelley.
Absolutely. On our website, we do have a link that you can donate to, and our website is nmdreamcenter.org. We do appreciate, during this time, any cash donations. You know, that's always super, super helpful with that. But we also need people. Like, we working on different outreach programs and different outreach kind of initiatives. And so we're hopeful for people as well. And we are primarily volunteer run. And so our volunteers, Jim, do everything from outreach to case management to helping us clean the harbor. They're involved in all aspects of this ministry.
Shelley, how do they get in touch with you if people are interested in volunteering?
So again, our best point of contact is going to be our website, nmdreamcenter.org. And if they go to the contact us field or contact us page, there's a simple form that they can fill out, and then we'll have one of our staff contact them, and we usually set up a tour so they get an idea of how the harbor works and how our programming works, and help them get involved.
Well, Shelley, I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation. I am a dad. All my kids grown up. Are all your kids now grown up?
Yes. I know I'm younger than you, Jim, but I'm beating you on the grandkid count. I've got two grandkids, and I'm super excited. But, yeah, all three of my daughters are grown and married.
Well, congratulations on the grandkids. And Steve Ryman, my producer here, is waving his hands like, come on, two grandkids, it's nothing. This guy's got a pile of them as high as the ceiling in KNKT. I have no grandkids, which means I'm younger than both of you. And I'll stick with that. That'll be my story. Shelley, I want to give you a hypothetical, though. Let's say that you're a parent and maybe you have a 10, 12-year-old daughter, and she brings over a friend, and you notice something unusual about that friend. And maybe there's some conversation about going to the mall and meeting somebody. And what should you do as a parent when you start to see that kind of thing and influence like that on your children?
Sure. This is a great question, Jim. So a couple of things is parents do need to be really, really aware of who their children's friends are. What we have seen is that most trafficking situations, that trafficker meets the victim through some sort of friend or family connection. So this happens. This is something that happens. The other thing is that there should be some specific language that parents are paying attention to. So if for instance, there's a kid that comes over and this kid's talking about going out to hustle money, or I'm going to go hustle with my mom, or I've got to go hustle, like anything like that. This word hustle is, you know, for our vernacular might be, oh, you got a side hustle. You're going to sell some sort of multi-level marketing product or something. But when a child is talking about that, that is going to be very specific to meeting a financial obligation. So if you hear a child talk about hustling, you need to pay attention. The second thing, or another one that they say, is that they will often refer to a boyfriend as a daddy, or they're part of my folk, so F-O-L-K, folk. Those are some other key phrases that we see as really common indicators in the trafficking world or the trafficking realm. If they talk about having a boyfriend that is quite a bit older than them, then they need to really pay attention, because essentially in the state of New Mexico, if there's more than a 3-year span, then you could even be looking at statutory rape if they're, like, you know, going to have intimate relations. And so those are the kinds of key things to pay attention to. So then let's say you actually hear or see and you're concerned about that. Honestly, the best thing that you can do is call what's called SCI, S-C-I. It's the statewide central intake for CYFD, and you report it as a potential trafficking situation. And so for that, you would do #safe, and that would put you right in touch with SCI, and you would make a report and ask for investigation. The way that that happens then is SCI actually contacts law enforcement, and they send law enforcement out to do an investigation. And I really feel that if people paid attention, I mean, I know lots of people are like, oh, I don't want to get involved with the Children, Youth, and Families Department, CYFD. That would be really bad. But if we're talking about saving a child's life or saving them from a lifetime of sexual exploitation, then that's what we need to do.
Oh, absolutely. We're on the phone this afternoon with Shelley Rep. She is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. She deals primarily with minor domestic sex trafficking, partners with law enforcement, Attorney General's office, and all kinds of other folks that really want to protect our children. We're going to be back with more from Shelley. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
Children are a small form of human beings. They can see worlds full of magic.
In the new movie, Emily and the Magical Journey, now available to rent online, we meet a young girl whose father died when she was young. Emily's mother never recovered from her grief, pushing the poor girl away emotionally. One day, Emily discovers a hidden chest in her mother's study. In it, she finds a mysterious, magical novel that soon transports her into a Narnia-like realm where Emily must stand up to a wicked witch. Emily and the Magical Journey majors in messages like bravery and kindness. Some scenes, however, are surprisingly scary for a kids' movie. So we're giving Emily and the Magical Journey a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
David said, now I realize the only way I can stand before God, the only way that we can have the presence of God is if someone deals with our sin nature, if someone deals with our heart. So what he was doing was pointing forward to the cross. And it was significant that he had this take place at the sixth step. The sixth step. You see, seven in the Bible represents a completion or a fullness, a totality of revolution, right? Like 7 days in the week, then a new week begins. David was saying at the sixth step, being the place where the sacrifice is offered, he was saying there can be no completion without forgiveness. There cannot be anything accomplished without God's power. There cannot be anything done except for the blood of Jesus that's running down the mercy seat under where the angels gaze. That's the only way that any of us can have a right relationship with God.
For more fresh thoughts, go to LeviLusco.com.
We are back with New Mexico Dream Center Executive Director Shelley Rep. Shelley, you're gracious to be with us, and I have a tone of shock in my voice when I'm talking to you. One of these days we just have to sit down, and I want to look at pictures of your children and your grandchildren and go, wow, this is really great. But we're always visiting about this topic, and I have to say that it stresses me out big time.
Good, Jim. We want people to not be desensitized to something like this. This is something that's so preventable in so many ways. And I think we need our state to know, and we need God's people to know and be aware. Because when we look at things like healing and we look at things like cultural change, that's part of what he's called us to do and for us to be a part of.
Shelley, I want to bring up, and this is going to be, I'm going to try to limit my hard questions to this being the last hard question, and this is shocking to me, and you've answered it before, and that is, do families themselves traffic their own children?
It absolutely happens, Jim. We've had many, many cases in the state of New Mexico that we have seen this. Essentially, we see it happen in two different ways. So one of the ways we would call generational familial trafficking. And so that means that the sex trafficking of children is something that families have participated in for years upon years upon generations. And so you'll have an instance where perhaps a father trafficked his daughter, and then that daughter grows up and she traffics her children or something like that. And it's hard for people to think about because you think that doesn't happen in the United States, but it does. One of our clients from a couple of years ago came to us as a 36-year-old woman, but she had her trafficking experience had started when she was a 9-year-old little girl from her dad, and he would load her up in his pickup truck and take her out to these remote areas and essentially sell her body, which is horrific to think about. But it was something that was generational in this family. The other branch of this familial trafficking is needs-based familial trafficking. And that is when a family has generally substance use issues, addiction issues, and as the family runs out of money, this is a source of income for them. So they sell their children or they sell their daughter so that they have money to continue to purchase drugs or to pay the rent or something like that. And the most famous case that we've seen of that in New Mexico is the Victoria Martins case, where her mother sold her online for sex.
Well, I see all the time on the news, there's various things happening. I guess they still haven't prosecuted that whole thing. And Victoria
Right.
Martins, of course, just was loved by all of her fellow students in school. She was a beautiful young, lady, and she was not only abused, but then she was tortured and killed and dismembered. And I mean, the story is just as bad as you couldn't make up something that awful.
No, it is. It's a horrific, horrific thing to think about. And I think that it really shows the danger of addiction, and specifically really hardcore drug addiction, that we, you know, there's a lot of bad things happening in our society in general, but addiction is killing us as a nation, Jim. I mean, there's so many ties to violence, to other aspects of crime, including human trafficking, that you can tie back to drug addiction.
Shelley, are there substantial punishment for people that are caught soliciting minors for this purpose?
So in New Mexico, we are really behind the times in addressing the legislative side of penalties for traffickers. So right now, if a person gets convicted of just a trafficking charge, they don't, law enforcement isn't able to layer on any other charges, you're looking at like 3 years for the state of New Mexico, which is a pretty small penalty for selling another person. And so one of the things that we participate in on the Human Trafficking Task Force is writing and promoting legislation around human trafficking. So last year we had put together legislation for House Bill 237, and it was addressing increased penalties for traffickers, and then it was also changing the definition of a trafficker to include them as a sexual predator, because then they can add more charges. Well, the legislation passed unanimously through the House, but it got stalled in the Senate. And so we are actively working right now on continuing to build that legislation up and make it a little bit better and firmer for the 2021 legislative session. That being said, Jim, one of the things we found out in this process is that New Mexico is one of four states that does not have a bottom for the age of child brides. And so here in New Mexico, you could marry off your three-year-old daughter, which is horrific to think about, and we don't think that that's a common thing, but that's something that should be addressed because, again, we know that part of trafficking is this whole selling of sex, and that's one of the ways that we've seen that.
Two things I'm going to say to what you're saying, Shelley. First of all, if you introduce this bill into the House and makes it to the Senate, and then somehow this bill is not approved, you need to let me know about who's not approving it and who's shooting it down. And then I'm going to personally not only talk about it on this show, but then I'm going to go to every news outlet in this city and I'm going to ask them to interview these people that are defeating this. This should not be a partisan issue. Sex trafficking in this state needs to stop. This is ridiculous. And you've already said it. It's something that we can stop. We could actually put these people out of business. But that leads me to my next question. And that is, you've actually told us that you've walked with your group, with your leadership team, and you actually know who the sex traffickers are. And so does law enforcement, and they can't do anything about it.
It is. It is one of the most frustrating situations. As we've done outreach in, you know, some highly trafficked areas, we've brought evidence to law enforcement. Law enforcement is aware of what's happening. So little disclaimer here, Jim, I am not a law enforcement officer in any way. So I don't know the, all of the ins and outs of why or why not people aren't being picked up. But essentially, we hear a lot about cartel activity, and that cartel activity is tied to a specific area in Albuquerque, probably more than one area, but one area that we go to quite a bit. And they're talking about manufacturing drugs, selling drugs, selling arms, and selling people. And it's one that is, I don't know why it's still happening. I can't tell you other than maybe it's not a priority with law enforcement with some of the other issues that we are facing right now in Albuquerque. I don't know, but we've reported time and time and time again. We've also seen when traffickers have come, you know, been picked up, and when they do go for trial, we've seen them literally walk away with a non-guilty verdict, because the girls that testified against them were discredited as, oh, well, they're just prostitutes, so they're vindictive, they're things like that, and they get discredited. And literally, we had one a couple years ago that we found out at 4:30 on a Friday afternoon that he was found not guilty, and he literally walked out of court. And we had three victims that were involved in that case that we had to immediately change where they were being housed. And two of them went into witness protection because they were so afraid for their lives.
Wow. What a story. Share with us, Shelley, the positives about you've seen people turn their lives around after years of exploitation and sexualization, haven't you?
We have. You know, it is amazing to me when I see these life change stories. And so one that I want to share is actually really recent. We had received a referral from CYFD. Again, that's the Children, Youth, and Families Department. And so she had aged out of foster care and had ended up becoming trafficked. You know, she didn't have a place to stay, and things got crazy for her, and so she ended up as a trafficking victim. And so we were able to connect with her. So literally CYFD had said, hey, there's this girl, we're trying to help. You know, she's aged out. She called us, and she's literally at this restaurant right now. Can you go get her? And so we're like, yeah. So we went and picked her up and, you know, sat with her and kind of helped her get into our housing and just started the process. So this is why volunteers and believers are so important to our mission. Part of our model for what we do when victims come into our care is we pair them with one or more people that we would call pro-social advocates, which is a fancy way of saying your friend. And so essentially this gal got paired with an older lady who was in her 40s, and she kind of took her under her wing. So she would do the case management part, which is the formal part. So let's get your ID and let's get your, you know, all of the things that you need so that you can, you know, have an apartment and just all these things and connect you to like counseling and other services. Well, the case management does all of that, but our pro-social advocate takes her for her appointments, but then also spends time with her. And so she, our gal started spending time over and over with this advocate, and the advocate was able to bring her to church and was able to just continue to spend time with her. Well, she's living on her own. She's got her own job. She's not drug seeking. She's not like leading a lifestyle that seems real dangerous. She goes to church every week with her advocate, and that becomes like her family, like her community. Because we have to understand that the folks we're working with come from a community. It's a bad community, but that's who they know. So if we as believers aren't willing to walk side by side and help become this new community, then the chances of our victims leading a victorious life are pretty little because they're going to go back to what they know and who they know. So we have to be with them and help them see that there's a different way, that they're accepted, but there's a different way, and they can make new friends and learn about other people and turn away from that darkness that they've lived in.
Awesome word for us, Shelley. Tell us how people can get in touch with you one more time.
Absolutely. You can find me at nmdreamcenter.org or give me a call at my office, 505-900-3833.
And you also take donations of clothes, non-perishable food items, snack foods, and those type of things. We work closely with a charity called Feed New Mexico Kids. I'm sure those type of foods are what you're after. And Shelley, I probably need to introduce you to Holly and have her talk to you a little bit about maybe they could help you in provide. Yeah. I know they provide snack foods and things for a lot of different organizations, including the Albuquerque Police Department, so that they have something on hand when they run across children like this. So Shelley, awesome word. I hope, Dan's doing well, and I haven't heard from Dave for a while, but I'll probably give him a call after we get off the air today.
That sounds wonderful.
Shelley, thank you so much for joining us today on ABQ Connect, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim.
Talk to you soon. I also want to mention to everybody, if you haven't seen it already, there's a news announcement about the state of New Mexico, I guess, is the health department and the governor are taking some new health order, and it's pretty comprehensive. I'm looking at it right now on my phone. And it's really, really going to affect businesses and people in our state. We are praying for those people. We hope you will, too. Come in on Monday, and we'll talk all about this new health order. Have a good weekend.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.